Today's episode of the Sports Talk Garage podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing you with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you're going to get paid when you include an ad from Podgo. We recently joined as a member, and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Now, let's get the episode started.
Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage podcast, where we discuss and debate the latest news and hot takes from the court and the ball fields to the locker room and front office. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those oversized contracts, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Hey, Sports Talk Garage. This is your host, Matt, with my co-hosts, David and Mike. We're excited for Season 3, Episode 14. We're going to cover some of what went on with the NBA draft and free agency recently, since they're so close together at this point. We'll talk a little bit of college basketball, talk a little bit about the NFL Pro Bowl, a little bit of MLS. So we've got some interesting stuff coming up for you and what's been happening in the news lately. And we're hope you're ready. So as we get ready and do our warm-up lap, guys, how are we doing this week?
Very good. Happy that it is Thanksgiving week. A little time to step away from work, spend some time with family, and just kind of decompress and relax a little bit. So very thankful for that.
Agreed.
Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited that it's Thanksgiving week and that we are finally starting to experience some not blisteringly hot temperatures down here in Florida. It's actually getting down into the 50s at night. And today, I think the high was like 76. We got some colder weather coming, and it's finally starting to almost feel like fall. I know that that's
just a little
long,
behind.
It happened a long time ago for you guys, but we are finally catching up down here, and it's nice.
Welcome
it
to the
fall. It means you get to walk outside and enjoy the cooler air and walks. I mean, this is kind of where you and your wife can walk out and do that, I guess, dating profile. I like long walks on the beach.
Exactly.
Now's the time to do it.
7-8 months out of the year, I don't like long walks on the beach. Just painfully hot.
Right.
So, yeah, now you can actually do that.
That's exciting. Nothing wrong with that. Well, real quick, just in case anybody wants to be able to reach out to us, Dave, why don't you tell them how they can do that?
You can check out our website, sportstalkgarage.com. Always follow us on social media, Facebook and Twitter, at Sports Garage Pod. If you have any questions, feedback, comments, anything else, send us an email, feedback@sportstalkgarage.com.
Awesome. All right, let's go ahead and drop the green flag. We'll start with the NBA. Let's talk about the draft and free agency a little bit. David, you're kind of our NBA subject matter expert. So tell us a little bit about what you saw from the draft, free agency, if you can give us a little bit of a recap.
Gosh, this year is, like everything else in the world, different than most. And you know, with the NBA, usually have the draft, you have a little bit of time until free agency starts, gives front offices a little time to kind of regroup and see who they drafted and where they want to fill up some holes. This year, though, you had about 3 to 4 days between the two. So it just hit the ground running, got to go. Draft, it was good to see. It was different. It was same format as the NFL with things being virtual. You know, you got to kind of view players and parents at home, see what's going on there. See family and friends around instead of the green room and, you know, in New York City. So it was a good change. It was fun to watch different family members and their expressions and what they thought about, you know, where their son or daughter is going. Yeah, no real big shockers for me at the top of the draft. I think it was a very safe pick for most teams. The Lakers definitely had a good draft, as most would expect. They traded their 28th pick for Dennis Schroeder, so they got rid of a end-of-first-round pick got a starting point guard to fill the Rajon Rondo departure, which was wonderful. New York Knicks, everybody loves to boo the Knicks no matter what happens, whether it's a great selection, a bad selection. They're really thin in the backcourt. They have a long jam in the front court, yet they picked National Player of the Year out of Dayton, Obi Toppin, at number 8. This is one of those you go for talent, not necessarily fit, and I think it's a wonderful selection. He's from New York, big-time dunker. He's going to work hard, hustle, has high energy, and he's a guy who can come in from day one, be an immediate starter, and probably play 30-plus minutes a game. So, Matt, you know, being in the Ohio area, probably seen a few Dayton games, he's a phenomenal player, and he's going to he's going to fit right in with New York. And then, you know, with the Hornets, LaVar Ball, if you think way, way back, he actually played for the Carolina Panthers for a very brief moment. And now one of his sons, his youngest son, is actually a Charlotte Hornet. Michael Jordan gave the blessing to go ahead and draft him. And Michael Jordan's history of taking players is a little sketchy. So we'll see how this one works out. He's definitely the star potential. I could probably sell some tickets. Also got Vernon Carey Jr. out of Duke, which will help shore up the middle. I got to see him play college last year, and he was a phenomenal center. So he'll provide some depth there. The one reach that I really saw, Chicago Bulls took Patrick Williams out of Florida State at number 4. He's got a good upside, but a very low ceiling, which is kind of a stretch at that high. Could have had some better options, but, you know, he'll fit in nicely with the front court that they have. So some good things there. Nothing really blew me away. No major trades happening. There were a few smaller ones, but nothing that really turned the tide of a team running one direction or another.
Okay. Were there any that you were super surprised about?
Ooh.
I mean, I like the pickup by the Hornets in Ball. I think that one was not a big surprise, but you know, just based on the history of their dad being kind of a loudmouth and, you know, I get the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but that guy just, you know, he's got to start something at any given time. I can't imagine what it's like growing up with him in the house, but how much trouble this is probably going to make inside of the Hornets organization is my question. Anyway, going back to, were there anything, I feel like the top three picks were kind of expected.
Yeah.
Everything else was kind of a toss-up.
Yeah, there have been a couple teams maybe reaching or selecting somebody who may have not been the perfect fit. I mean, there wasn't anything for me that necessarily stood out. There are some teams who didn't make big moves. They went the free agent route instead. And again, there was only a few days in between. So front office, GMs, whoever's making those decisions had a lot on their plate between the two, kind of balancing them. But I think the big thing for the draft being virtual, I really enjoyed it, kind of like the NFL draft was, instead of, you know, guys just sitting at a table walking up to shake the commissioner's hand. We got to go into their living room and see what their life is like at home and see their families and how they are celebrating. It's also interesting to see how some guys were a little more dressed up than others because they're at home instead of the big fancy suits that they might have.
Fair enough. Let's switch over to the free agency, because I know you talked a little bit about that. Is there any big free agency moves that you were surprised by?
Couple things. One, this is just a little good stat here. Only 3 players in the history of the NBA have signed a more than one contract worth more than $30 million per year. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Gordon Hayward. One of those is not necessarily like the other two. By a long shot. Gordon Hayward has somehow turned 1 year being an all-star into, 4 years, about $250 million. That is the biggest sham in the history of the NBA that I can think of. And what's killing me, especially being a Hornets fan, but Hornets signed him to a 4-year, $68 million offer sheet in 2014. Fast forward 6 years later, he's older, he's injury prone, and he gets 4 years for $120 million. I thought he was crazy opting out of Boston for $34 million a year. But when you know this is on the table, you're like, well, yeah, I'm going to take the money. Of course, I can get $90 million more. I'm not going to win, but my bank account's going to be pretty happy. So that was a little puzzling for me. But, I mean, I guess you're worth what someone's willing to pay you. So we'll go with that. Being a smaller market team, you kind of have to overpay. We don't have the glitz and glamour of one of the big cities and the more the destination places. Dwight Howard saying he's going to the Lakers and reversing course like 30 minutes later, bolting town for Philadelphia was a little odd, especially when it was for the veterans minimum. Didn't really understand that. Lakers reloaded. Fred VanVleet, congratulations to him. He has the highest contract for the history of anybody who is not drafted, which is really cool. 4 years, $85 million. So for those guys in college who may go undrafted, there's a little motivation. You know what? He has done it. He's kind of paved the road for you. You can show that, you know, just fight hard, work hard, and someday you can get really rich playing basketball. That was cool.
Yeah. That's always nice.
But the past few days have definitely been crazy. It seems like Adrian Wojnarowski is just constantly earning his money with as many tweets as he's sending out and taking phone calls while on SportsCenter, getting the latest updates before everybody else. He's been a busy guy, but he's definitely, you know, people love him because he gets it right every time. Yeah, lots of guys have been traded or signed free agent contracts. One more. Sacramento Kings gave De'Aaron Fox a $163 million max contract. He hasn't even made an all-star team yet. They're just throwing money at him. So still some dumb money being thrown out. It's going to happen every year, no matter what.
Well, sure. What I don't understand is going back to your original with, you know, you talk about Charlotte's pickup and the amount of money going out there. We may have to pay you know, a higher dollar amount compared to like New York or LA or whoever, even though it's cheaper to live here than there. But at the same time, you know, you picked up LaMelo. You've got a problem with dropping Batum out of this, to which is what? The $27 million that's owed over the next
3 years. Yeah, he's that stress years. Provision. So still on the books. So he's being paid $27 million, not to even, you know, be employed, which is pretty nice for him.
But this is also the same team that put a hard line on franchise Kemba Walker a year ago.
Yeah, a little confusing when you let him walk over roughly $20, $30 million, and then you turn around and give the next guy, you know, a large contract who I would say is not much better.
30 years old and not like an all-star stud.
Yeah, I would not say that he's a step up from Kemba Walker at all. Maybe right. The same, maybe, but definitely not an improvement over him. He's not going to be a big ticket seller, I would imagine. So that's not going to help.
No? No way. Well, I mean, good news is that they're not going to be selling many tickets this year anyway. So I guess that's an easy way to, you know, pass that one on. All right. Let's talk a little bit of college. I don't know about you guys. This is where I get a little bit more excited. Teams to watch. I think every poll that I've kind of paid attention to typically shows Gonzaga kind of toward the top there, Villanova rated high, Carolina's kind of in the top 25 push, Duke and Kentucky. I mean, there's these are fully understandable. I guess my thought is what are some interesting pieces about any of those? Is there anybody you guys are excited to see? Why? I mean, just let's talk about it a little bit. So I think if I have to pick one, I'm going to say Kentucky. You know, Duke has a lot of good things going on, but Calipari just does some crazy stuff when it comes to UK every year. This year, he's working with a lot of underclassmen. He's got a ton of freshmen across the board because he had to replace them all. But I am still kind of excited. I mean, he's got, what, one graduate student out of Charlotte, North Carolina, Davion Mintz. I'm excited to watch him play. He's more of a guard position. He's got, what, one other senior – or he's got a senior in Olivier Sarr from Bordeaux, France, who's a forward at 7 foot. who could really do some damage under the bucket, but I think he's more of an offensive weapon than a defensive stop. So, in all, I guess if we're talking, I want to say that these guys have, if Calipari can get them to play together, which he, you know, that's kind of been their downfall the last few times that they've made major runs, is when they're all young, it's hard to get that congruency that you can see out of a team like Gonzaga or Carolina that typically have their guys stay for a little bit longer time. However, again, when you've got Olivier Saar at 7 foot playing underneath, it's hard to get around a big man like that. They've got Wake Forest transfer. I'm sorry, he was the Wake Forest transfer. You know, that's probably my team I'm going to watch for. I think they're going to take the SEC this year. But again, just because they're underclassmen, that's one I want to watch and see. I've always got a place for Duke in my heart. Don't get me wrong. And they will always be number one to me. But between them, and I am kind of curious about Baylor this year. I guess it just kind of depends on what they're able to pick up out of them. But Baylor, I'll hold that one until we get a little bit further down the road and make sure we're going to have a season this year. But I think Baylor is going to be an exciting team to watch as an underdog.
Since you said underdog, I want to say Baylor is definitely a top three team in the nation. They finished off last season wonderfully. I see them picking up. I want to take this a different route. I'm going to go with a mid-major team to watch out for, something that people don't always talk about. Houston, the American Athletic Conference. They've been, you know, top of the conference for the past couple of years. Kelvin Sampson, what a wonderful resume, is certainly imparting that knowledge onto the players there. Even without Nate Hinton, they're still a really good team, full of wings and guards. They're not going to be big, but they've got four guys who can play offense. They can play defense. They're just going to overwhelm you. They do not stop. I think this is probably one of the best Houston teams that they've had in their history. And, you know, Houston's been around for a while. So they're definitely one of those, I'd say, 8 to 12 seeds. If we hopefully have a full season and get to March Madness with everybody playing, that could be there, going to make some noise. And again, their guard play is phenomenal. Caleb Mills, especially, probably an NBA level player. He's most likely conference player of the year, barring injury. So I'm excited to see them. Obviously, you said Baylor. I think that's probably one of the best P5 teams coming on from last year. But Houston is my team to watch out for. That is not one of those mainstays at the top every single year.
Maybe I should have dropped in. You're right. Maybe they're a little bit better than what I'm going to give them out of Baylor, because I thought they were a little bit under what they're being given by the coaching polls. I am going to throw one more out, just as a living in Ohio, because I've watched Coach Holtman bring up Ohio State over the last 3 years from non-contenders in the Big Ten, maybe get like one or two wins in the tournament, to really being competitors as long as they're healthy. And they've got a lot of upperclassmen that are going to be able to play together. So, okay. Let's go over to Mike.
The homer pick.
Yeah, I think if I'm looking at a couple teams that I'm interested to see, one of them is going to be Florida State. I think last season feels so long ago because it ended prematurely. And I honestly, I'm just going to be honest, I forgot that Florida State won the ACC regular season last year. Leonard Hamilton feels like he's been there forever, and they've always been good but never great until recently. And I think they could have had a legitimate shot at winning it all last year if we would have actually played the tournament. Obviously, we'll never know. They had quite a few guys drafted pretty high last week. So obviously they've got to replace them, but they've still got a lot of experienced players coming back. And one guy that I'm excited to watch, because I got to see him in high school, he went to Montverde Academy about, I don't know, 30 minutes away from me, Scotty Barnes. He's one of the top five freshmen in the country, and he's that kid was unstoppable at Montverde. So I'm excited to see him, and excited to see what the Seminoles can do this year. And then the second team, and really it's not a team so much as a player, Luca Garza at Iowa. I didn't watch a lot of them last year, but I felt like every time I saw the bottom line, Iowa was winning a game by like 3 points, and Garza had like 25 and 15. Like he would win games by himself night in and night out. And with him back this year, he's the clear cut preseason player of the year, according to everybody. And I mean, he could legitimately go out and put up a double double every single night for the entire season. And it's going to be fun to watch to see what he can do, and to see if Iowa has any pieces around him that can help him, you know, see if they can maybe rise to the top of the Big Ten.
Yeah, Garza is an amazing player, and his game translates so well. He's going to be a solid NBA player when his time comes too.
You think he'll get paid more than Gordon Hayward?
maybe not initially, but, you know, with TV deals continually going up, give it 10 years, who knows what's going to happen.
True.
Interesting. So I found a website called teamrankings.com, and they're doing kind of bracket projections. They list Florida State projected win loss at 11-6 with a 72% chance to make the bracket. They've got Gonzaga at 23-3 with 98% with a one seed of 54%. That's going to get interesting. Who's your other one, David?
I can imagine these Houston Cougars. Let me take a look. I can imagine whoever is filling these out is going to be busy all season as games are delayed or rescheduled. Yeah. Some teams get cut short from 30 games down to 20 for whatever reason.
So how do you feel
projecting brackets and where people are going to end? I can't imagine doing that.
How do you feel about your boys at Liberty? Because they've got them around. Hold on, let me find it. Sorry, Houston, I just found, is at 78% chance to be in there at 21-6 projected. But Liberty.
Liberty men and women and volleyball actually christened a new basketball arena today on Monday. It's a 4,000 seat. They downsized from their previous one to give it a more intimate feel. Hmm. It is beautiful, state of the art. I wish I could be there to watch a game, which I won't be definitely for a while, but I'm looking forward to that at some point. So I hate this comparison, but I'm going to compare it to Duke. It kind of reminds me of Cameron Indoor Stadium. It has that close feel. Players are right on top of the court. So it gives you that feeling that you're right there in the game as opposed to their old stadium where you're kind of up above watching things. So it's going to be a good home court advantage. And, yeah, they're in the A-Sun. They've won it the past 2 years. I think there's a good chance they can win their conference again. Get back to the tournament.
They're giving them a 35% chance to make the bracket. Auto bid of 34%. So that ought to be interesting. I'm always curious to watch how Liberty does, because I know Dayton typically puts out a little bit better roster consistently. So Liberty's a fun team to watch, kind of like Davidson was a few years ago as a potential Cinderella team. And I like to watch Dayton when they – you know, when they have maybe not the top seed or whatever, but, or, you know, like a top 10 seed, but when they're behind and they have the ability to play up, it's kind of fun to watch and see what they do. Is there any other teams anybody's kind of looking at where maybe they feel that way about just a fun team that you like to watch, especially in a Cinderella style?
Oh gosh, not Cinderella. I mean, I'm always going to pull for my Tar Heels to win every single game, especially against Duke. So,
jeez, no,
excited for them. Excited to see some Tar Heel basketball.
No special mentions for like Seton Hall or never know if they're going to show up or not. St. Mary's from a couple years ago, or Washington.
You know, there's always that Cinderella team. So regardless of who it is, got to love a good Cinderella story.
Who was it? Was it 2 years ago that they had the nun that showed up to every game?
That was Loyola Chicago, I believe.
Yes.
That one showed up. She's a mainstay, and she's been at that university for like 60 some years, which is an amazing stat just in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really cool story to see her showing up to a lot of games.
Well, they're saying for this year, they are 58% chance of making the tourney, the 1% chance of being a one seed. Who comes up with this stuff? All right.
Vegas.
All that being said, let's go ahead and take our first break, drop the yellow flag, give our sponsors a moment to have a couple words. We really appreciate them and hope you'll try them out, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit about some soccer in the NFL. So football and football.
Hi, Sports Talk Garage listeners. This is Matt. The holidays are here, and have you made your wish list yet? Our sponsor today has the number one wish for gift of the year, Manscaped, the best in men's below and above the belt grooming. Ho, 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 fellas. Naughty or nice, tis the season to perform. And trust me, it's important to our special someones that we keep hair out of certain places. If they haven't told you that yet directly, I'm guessing you haven't been listening. That, or you're a perfect Grecian statue. Either way, you're in luck because Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle and makes for the perfect gift. The bundle includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which is the best trimmer on the market, in our opinion, since it never cuts you. The Weed Whacker Nose Hair Trimmer, Crop Preserver and Reviver, the Magic Mat, the Shed Travel Bag, and a pair of anti-chafe boxers. Tis the season of Manscaped, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package. Right now, get an additional 20% off and free shipping with the code PODCAST20 at manscaped.com. That's an additional 20% off the website offers with free shipping at manscaped.com, and make sure you use the code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds and make Santa proud.
Welcome back, Sports Talk Garage. We are going to start the second half of our episode. We hope that you had a enjoyed the first half of the show, as well as give a chance to our sponsors. We think they've got a great deal going on for you. So as Christmas is coming up, definitely look out for some of that. All right. Let's talk about the MLS playoffs. This is where it's going to get down to the fun and the gritty part. There's some tough competitions getting ready to start out of that. So I guess let's talk a little bit about what we think is potentially going to happen out of this, and are there any favorites? Mike, tell us a little bit about this.
Well, the playoffs, they just got underway Friday. We've played about two thirds of the first round, and it's been an interesting playoffs, to say the least. We've already had three different games be decided on penalty kicks. one of those that I didn't watch, FC Dallas upset Portland 8-7 in a pretty long penalty kick shootout. One of the penalty kick shootouts that I did watch, that I don't know if either of you happened to catch, it was probably the most entertaining 22 minutes of television on Saturday, was the Orlando City NYCFC. I mean, there's no other word for it other than it was a debacle of officiating that will be used as a film for upcoming officials as to how
training
not
videos
to do your job. and in case you think that I'm a homer or biased by this, the Referees Association has already announced that none of those officials will work another playoff game for the rest of the year. deservedly so.
Yes.
I mean, it was crazy. It was exciting to see. Orlando thought that they had won the shootout with a save from Pedro Gallese, who was on video review said that he had left the line early, and that was correct. Although he was maybe an inch and a half off the line, it was a harsh call, which also was an automatic yellow card, which he'd already got a yellow earlier in the game, so that sent him off. And because of a weird rule that the referee didn't know, and then he knew, and then he didn't know, and then he knew, meant that you couldn't substitute another goalkeeper in the shootout to replace a red carded goalkeeper. If he would have been injured, he could have been substituted. But because he was red carded, you couldn't substitute a goalkeeper for a different field player and have him go play goal, which was kind of a big deal because it meant that an outfield player had to go put on the gloves and be a goalkeeper. And amazingly enough, after his first attempt, he was nowhere near, as one would expect. Second shot, he actually made the save, and Orlando ended up winning the game with an outfield player making a save on a penalty kick, which, I mean, that's it. And in their first ever playoff game, you can't make this stuff up. It was incredible. So we've got a few more first round games to get through tomorrow night, and then we'll start the second round on Sunday. So far, other than FC Dallas, it's been the higher seed has moved on in all the games. Yeah. If we're looking for a favorite, Sporting KC, I think, has been a solid team all year. They nearly gave it away against San Jose. They gave up a goal in like the eighth minute of stoppage time and ended up having to go to penalty kicks before they could get rid of San Jose. But if they can get past Minnesota, I think Sporting KC is a definite challenge. In the East, you know, Columbus is a three seed, but as Matt noted before we jumped on here, they're always in it in the postseason. They just seemingly find a way to win, and I would be a little concerned about them if I was Toronto or Nashville, whoever gets them in the second round. I think Columbus has a good shot.
Do you think Toronto is going to be able to, I guess, handedly win against Nashville, or do you think this is going to be a decent game?
I think it'll be,
with how close all these others have been.
Yeah, I think it could be decent. Nashville, it's their first season. They're an expansion club. They played Inter Miami in a play-in game, and frankly, they dominated from the jump. I think they scored, I don't know, about 10 minutes in, added another one a few minutes later, and they were really never tested by Miami. Toronto has experience. Toronto has depth. I think that's going to propel them to at least win the game. Whether or not it's a penalty kicks or a one goal game, you know, I don't know. Minnesota so far is the only team that's actually looked dominant in an actual playoff game other than that play-in. So I would give the edge to Toronto, but I'd say it'll probably be a fairly close game.
To Mike, a team I don't think you mentioned, Philadelphia, the Union. Just kind of make a baseball comparison here. They remind me of the Rays. They have pretty low budget in terms of salaries for their players, yet they came out on top of their conference.
They did.
Do you see them making a run similar to the way the Rays did all the way to the end? I mean, I would love to see them in, you know, Sporting KC come back, have a little match off at the Cup.
Yeah, I could see that. I think they've ended the year. I'm sorry?
Or have they overperformed or outperformed what they should?
I think that's possible. I think when you see the one seed next to them, you automatically assume that they're the most likely to come out of the East. I don't know that many people would say they're the most likely to come out of the East, but they have been playing pretty solid lately. Other than a loss to Columbus on the 1st of November, they hadn't lost a game pretty much since we went back to playing regular season soccer after that tournament at Disney. They've been pretty strong for the last couple months, but they're the kind of team that I can see them having just one bad game. And that's the way that we do it in this country, playing soccer playoffs with knockout games the whole way through. We don't have the two leg system that most other countries use. So you can't afford to really make any mistakes. And all it takes is one bad challenge and a guy getting sent off or, you know, just one slip up with your back line giving up a goal, and that can be the end of your season. And I think New England, even as an 8 seed, is going to challenge Philadelphia tomorrow night in that first round match. And if Philly can get past them, then they're going to be playing an Orlando team that's riding high on the momentum from that penalty kick win. So we'll see.
Okay.
Excellent. I'm kind of looking forward to Columbus. This isn't the sport that I watch a ton of, but being, again, the local around here, I have a lot of friends that do follow the Columbus team, and it's kind of easy to enjoy them as a favorite, especially out of Columbus of all places. So apparently Columbus doesn't have the problems that Charlotte does and having to pay, you know, $30 million a year to players to get them here. Okay, anyway, let's move on to the NFL Pro Bowl. There's some changes that are coming into play here. David, why don't you give us a quick breakdown, and we'll talk a little bit about it.
So the NFL Pro Bowl is one of those games that I don't always tune in for. It's kind of that filler gap between the end of the playoffs and the Super Bowl. You know, it's more of a time for guys to go hang out, enjoy time with family, other guys in their conferences, to play a highly offensive game without a lot of defense. It was actually canceled this year, but the NFL quietly brought it back, and like many other things, it is going digital. It's actually going to be a Madden 21 tournament filled with celebrities, NFL legends, current players, as well as streamers, which I assume are some of the top streamers on Twitch or some other streaming service. But the way fans can vote, voting is open until December 17th. You can vote on Madden 21, whether it's a mobile or a console, or the NFL website, as always. One-third of the vote is fan vote. One-third of the vote is players voting for each other. And one-third of the vote is league coaches. So voting is a little different, but also they're just essentially saying, hey, you were the best here. Now go play Madden 21 on Xbox, and we're going to make this giant bracket, put you against, you know, some celebrity or some NFL legend. Can you imagine 60-year-old, I don't know, Emmett Smith coming out trying to play Madden on Xbox against some 22-year-old rookie? I mean, I get
no,
it. That it's
I want to see John Madden come out and run a game.
Maybe he can commentate. But yeah, it's an interesting concept, just thinking, you know, we can't really keep people together, especially in that environment, so we're going to do something that people are going to tune in for. I'm just wondering how it's actually going to go. It's probably just going to be much of the younger guys actually making it deep into this tournament that they're going to have. So, interesting changes. I'm actually more adept to tune in this year than maybe I have in previous years. But if I were Mike living within driving distance to Disney World, I probably would have gone down to see the Pro Bowl in person if I had an opportunity.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm guessing I'm the only one of the three of us that's been to the Pro Bowl.
Good guess.
It's not hard, given until 2013, it was pretty much always in Hawaii.
That's a little tough.
That would be expensive for people like us. But I actually went in 2009 when they did that sort of experiment, moving it to Miami for 1 year. My dad and I went down and saw that, and it's one of those, like, it's a game that when it's on TV, I get it, why people don't love to tune in. I don't fault you guys for not being avid watchers of the Pro Bowl. I work at an athletics department, and I'm usually the only one that watched it. I come in on Monday, and I'm like, hey, Ryan, did you see the game last night? And he's like, a basketball game? What game? And I'm like, no, the Pro Bowl. He's like, why would I watch that? It's pointless. Well, going to the game, being there, it's – first of all, it's pretty cool to be able to see that many all-stars, that many legitimate NFL players who are the best of the best. There, I don't know how many Hall of Fame players play in it every year, but to be able to see Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and all the guys that we saw on one field, yes, it's not a normal football game that they're playing, but just to be in their presence and to see them play firsthand, it's a pretty cool experience. And you know, these last 4 years being in Orlando, I went once or twice, but they've also had a lot of fun things that they do at Disney, getting to see a skills competition back in January that they did, that it's fun. You get to see a kind of a lighter side of the guys and to have them goofing around and just it's entertainment. And really that's at the heart of football. It's entertainment. All of that being said, I would not have gone to the game this year because it was actually scheduled to be held at the new stadium in Las Vegas. So outside of my driving distance this year, hopefully they bring it back to Orlando in the future when we get back to normal. But I will say, you know, back when COVID was at the beginning stages, before that, I'd never watched video games on TV of any kind. But there was that period where that was pretty much all we had for sports. That was, mm-hmm. that was what passed as sports was the iRacing in NASCAR. And then I remember Major League Baseball set up a little tournament where each team got to have a representative and play MLB The Show.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch a lot of it, but the parts that I caught, it was pretty cool. It's kind of, I guess it kind of reminds me of what David said about the draft being virtual, where you get to see their inside their homes and kind of see their families and see who they are when they're at home and when, like a private life that you really never get a chance to see in normal world. And, you know, the trash talking and just the guys that you just, like you said, if Emmett Smith came back and actually was good at this, I think we'd all be shocked, but that would be awesome to see.
Yes,
like,
it would.
To see guys like that, maybe Troy Aikman going up against Mike Alstott or something, like who knows what we're going to end up seeing in this. And it's obviously different and it's not as much fun as real football, but it's a different way to do it. And if it's done well, I think it could be really entertaining. And I appreciate you, David, saying that you're more apt to tune in. I think there's probably a lot of people that are more apt to tune in because we've never done it like this. So just give it a chance and maybe it'll be cool. Maybe it'll be something that sticks around even after COVID. Who knows?
Just throwing this out there, I can see nationwide sponsoring this with a special VIP game between Peyton Manning and Brad Paisley.
Yes.
Yeah. That could totally 100%. Work. Totally work. Now, I will say.
And the winner gets their way about the band, period.
There you go.
And they have to find new commercials.
Yes.
Yeah. Stuff like that could totally happen. Certainly. And I mean, if I lived within driving distance, I would totally go to a Pro Bowl weekend, enjoy all the festivities and just see everything happening off the field. That would be wonderful. Most years, I'll at least have it on, kind of glance over, see what's going on. If there's a replay of a great play or a hit or something, I'll tune it, but I'm not that in depth into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just kind of said it's different and might be able to see people in different light than what we're used to. And as you said, see them in their home life, what they're like off camera, away from the field. So it's an interesting concept and I'm glad the NFL is being creative in their marketing for this because I've seen a lot of it just in the past week. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for a change.
I agree. And I think we've done as before Mike came on with us, as he was talking about, we've discussed a lot of tournaments and things that are happening online. You know, NASCAR took the lead on a lot of that. One of the ones I'll take you back to is when we talked about recruiting for the college side of football. Some of the students were coming back, they're being recruited out of high school and saying, yeah, my recruiter that's an older coach is getting online to play Madden with me, which is really awkward because they're very quiet, have no idea what they're doing. You know, but this has been the year where, because we've been indoors for so long, I think everybody's kind of had their chance to sit down and get a little extra Madden time in since the NCAA hasn't released a football game since 14. And, you know, kind of enjoy that, I guess, that online presence and attention. You get to kind of pick up some plays and players. So this will be really interesting when they put together who's going to be that selection, what teams are going to play. I think David makes a great point. Maybe you get John Madden to commentate. You know, we've seen a lot of these guys that are on Fox and CBS and that every week. Wouldn't it be neat to get maybe one or two of those guys to come in and commentate? Or, you know, maybe you've got a coach that's kind of standing over the the person with the stick talking about what kind of offense they should be running or defense. So this could be rather intriguing. I will say I enjoy sitting down to watch some of the Pro Bowl, especially the contests, but the game itself gets a little hard because it's, I feel like some of the starters that, it's definitely an offensive game, in my opinion, most of the time when you watch the championships, because you have the best of the best of the best. And it's, you know, guys that run their 40s and 4.2 and they're 6 foot whatever, and they can just swing it right down the line to them. And if you get, you know, Tom Brady, who has a very accurate arm, or a Cam Newton that has a rifle, it's almost too hard to overthrow these guys.
Yeah, and I'd say also with that defense, it's a meaningless game in the sense of standing. So you don't want to come up and just hit a player and risk an injury as well. I'd say that probably plays into it some.
Right, because this is supposed to be it for fun. But, yeah, and that is the thing. Some of these guys, what, deny every year or don't want to be part of it because of the potential injury. You've got a lot of contract left to go. I mean, this is one where I would have loved to have seen Joe Burrow pick up and get a chance to go into that this year, and I'd love to have seen him start. But, yeah, that ain't happening, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That'll be a Justin Herbert.
Yeah, and I not to bring the mood down too much, but I will always remember the Pro Bowl because this year's Pro Bowl, my wife and I went together, and that was where we were when we learned of Kobe Bryant's death. Mm. And that was probably the most surreal experience of my life, to be at a sporting event and to, you have never seen so many strangers just start talking to each other. Like, people were just tapping each other on the shoulder and asking, hey, did you hear? And then when they find out, like, people were hugging each other and people were just crying on each other's shoulder. It was just surreal. And I will always remember I was at the Pro Bowl, a game that like you guys said, it doesn't matter. It's a pointless game. And yet it became this, it was just something out of this world to be amongst so many people that cared so much about Kobe, who obviously didn't play football, but it was something else.
Hmm. Yeah, anyway, I think there's going to be a long time for people to kind of remember where they were. One of those events, you'll remember where you were when you heard Kobe passed. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up with that. We'll drop the checkered flag. Final thoughts, guys. David, you get to start.
Yeah, well, as I said at the very beginning, it's Thanksgiving week, which I'm thankful for. I'm just a little break from work, some time with some family. Yeah, this is a sports week. It is filled with NFL, you know, Thursday, and then this weekend, college football. We got college basketball starting. So when you have some downtime and you've had too much turkey and you're ready for a nap, you can catch a game and enjoy all the festivities this weekend.
Well, I will say that, as David mentioned at the very start, this is one of my favorite points of year, and I had a friend – first time I've ever heard this, he goes, Thanksgiving is just practice for Christmas dinner. So since I get to cook the turkey this year, I will say this will be my practice run at figuring how to cook a large bird. And because usually I get a side or two, but, you know, this is going to be exciting, right? So if I completely destroy the turkey, then maybe we'll have a Christmas story and we'll all go find Chinese food. Mike, what about you?
We will not be cooking Thanksgiving this year, but I am I am grateful that we've made it to Thanksgiving, and the holiday season is upon us. And like David, I think I'm probably most excited about the start of college basketball. It's been way too long to see, for me personally, to see my alma mater, FGCU, play anything. I haven't played any fall sports. So it's been, what, a little over eight months since they played an actual game that mattered. And Wednesday, you get to see men's and women's basketball start up, and it's exciting. You know, basketball, I've seen a lot of games been already getting canceled and postponed and whatnot. It's got me a little worried, but two more days and we're gonna start seeing some actual games, and hopefully things can calm down and continue on with a smooth season, and we can actually get March Madness. I think we'd all really look forward to that in 4 months. And this week is the start.
Yes, it is.
Well, let's just see how much we can get in before, you know, the crazy happens again. Hopefully all of it. All right. So with that, we will go ahead and end the show for tonight. We hope that everybody had a good time, learned a few things. But David, one more time, why don't you tell our listeners how they can potentially be a part of the show?
If you have any questions, comments, jokes, anything about you want to send us, email address is feedback@sportstalkgarage.com. Our website has info about us, some other podcasts that we have partnered with, all of our previous episodes. If you want to go back and start at season 1, episode 1, that is sportstalkgarage.com. And then on social media, Facebook and Twitter @sportsgaragepod.
Awesome. So with that, we will wish everybody a great week. Happy Thanksgiving, to spend time hopefully with some immediate family and friends while being safe at home. Other than that, we'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter @sportsgaragepod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.